The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Show 967 shows. Actually, it's 968, which is more likely about 975. Because we've done little bits here and there. Like some of this, like the live ones or whatever. But yeah, we're approaching 1,000 MFs. So on that note, it's JC, that guy who does, sits there. We're going to have another classic opening today on this Monday on Footy Prime. Please enjoy.
These days, does it seem like you've got a different knife for every little job in the kitchen? Like you've got a knife for buttering your bread, chopping up your lamb, and cutting your lettuce. To that we say, that's not a knife. This is the Footy Prime Knife. The Footy Prime Knife is the only knife you need for chopping, slicing, dicing, filleting, killing, and murdering. Footy Prime's 14-inch blade plus spiked knuckles is forged from other useless knives. It's like we took the Prime Knife's enemies and burnt them alive. Let's not stop at the kitchen. The Footy Prime Knife replaces all sharp objects around your house. You can chop down a tree, shave your danglers, and threaten your neighbor all at the same time. And the kids just love it. Little Susie wants her ears pierced? Prime Knife. So say goodbye to those dull knives and most of your friends. And try the Footy Prime Knife. That's not a knife unless it's the Footy Prime Knife. You'll likely end up in jail.
Footy Prime does not promote the use of the Footy Prime Knife for anything other than showboating to your mates. Let's get this party started.
like a Swiss Army knife is what you're kind of saying there, right? That there's a piece for all jobs, including murdering. I like that one.
Yeah. I know.
It's almost any knife, though, right? Any knife is for murdering, really.
I guess even a butter knife you can kill someone with.
Yeah.
If you're strong enough.
Right? You just need to have the will to do it.
Yeah, exactly. The passion.
And we do.
Useless by themselves, but together useful. That was a nice a line to that effect anyway. I enjoyed that. That was good. How you doing, everyone? It's Monday.
Good.
Quite the weekend, eh? We got a lot to get to today.
Sports weekend.
You know what, sports? It was Alex Ferguson who coined the phrase football bloody hell. Sport bloody hell. Right? I mean, I know we're not a baseball podcast, but we're a sports podcast. That was just unbelievable on Saturday and Friday, quite honestly, but Saturday. I can't say that I'm a diehard Jays fan. I won't pretend. Once upon a time I was, but I'm more of a bandwagon jumper these days. But man, that was as compelling a sport view than I think I've ever had. Honestly, it covered everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think you're struggling.
Do you know what's funny? I don't own anything that's Blue Jays, right? I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I did this.
Jimmy is walking away from the camera. Yes,
he left.
So I bought this on Thursday, and I've only worn it 2 days.
Attaboy.
And so I won't be wearing that again until next.
And they're 0-2.
He's wearing a Jays cap for those listening on the podcast here. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was a lot. You know what, Craig, you're right. It was fun. And when there's such heartbreak, it's usually because there's a whole ton of fun preceding it, the heartbreak. Mm-hmm. But this team is just so likable. Right? They're just so different to so many other teams that I've been forced to support in my sporting life, where you kind of, oh, I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing a Leaf hat right now, for example, where you support them and you love the club, but you don't really like the players that much. This team, this Jays team, the most likable bunch of characters and just oozing charisma dubs. We need more Blue Jays in sport, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, those types of characters and personalities and the way they were all together and wearing their hearts on their sleeves, I think, collectively, right? And then Vladdy with the biggest iconic move ever, walking in with a Mary Philip Poulin jersey, Captain Clutch herself. And the irony, you just called attention to your Leafs cap, that he won wearing a Matthews jersey on the walk-in and lost wearing a Poulin jersey on the walk-in, right? You let Poo down, Vladdy. You really did. No, they didn't. They didn't let anybody down, right? I think it was, I think especially from Montreal, given the expos, I haven't yet watched the documentary about all of that and how it went down and the bitterness that still remains because we don't have an MLB franchise and the fans still feel robbed of that. And then everything being made and it was, they were so easy to root for, but I think for a large pocket of the population here, it was tough for people to vote for the Jays or to root for the Jays. And I think people did even despite that. So that was really cool to see. And my kids don't really watch baseball. They're watching baseball. Like everybody was talking about this team. And it was just, as you said, Sharm, sports, like that ball getting wedged in game six. Like what the fuck? Like, how does that happen? The Clement hit where I was like, he's fucking done. Boy, it. It's gone. That's it. And then no, they don't win it. Or even like the force out at the plate where the foot comes up. And then you think, okay, it's going to get reviewed. It's not. Toe comes back down, you know. So heartbreak over and over again. But they had the fans with them, and I think people will be feeling like the vibes of this team, even though they fell short for a really long time.
You know what? I'm going to put my hat back on.
Yeah, pretty proud. Jimmy.
It was me, right, Jimmy? I convinced you.
Yeah.
After the game, I walk by the stadium, and you know, you kind of think, well, what could have been. Because it was just dead. The city was just dead.
Really? Just a depression?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It was kind of heartbreaking. They had so many
disbelief,
chances.
Right? Disbelief, I guess, because there was that ninth inning where, I mean, Sportsnet even did away with a commercial break. They never do that. That pays the bills, right? Yeah. And so you're doing something different. What I like about their broadcast, actually, through the entire playoffs, is that they've changed nothing really from the regular seasons. Often you see broadcasters try too hard for the finals and they take away what made them successful. No one cares, honestly. I don't remember the broadcast in 93 when the Jays won. Don't know. So they kept it simple, which I liked. And they said, oh no, they've done away the commercial break. It's different to what they usually do. And then boom, and that happened. The home run and then that crazy Paget catch when he collides with the outfielder. Oh my God. So many moments, right? We think about sports is moments. It's about moments. And within that game alone, there was more moments in that game than the previous freaking 32 years. Well, it's not fair. There was a couple of thrown in there, but for a long time though, right? The bench clearing brawl, so to speak, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. I think my favorite moment probably was when I went to the Leaf home opener. And they were playing the Habs. So the arena's like split between Habs and Leaf fans. They hate each other, obviously. And then after the game, they put the Jays on. And all of a sudden, you've got two organizations that hate each other, but are still sitting beside each other cheering on the Blue Jays. It was such a bizarre situation, but so cool at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of they're really, they're Canada's team.
Yeah. They really are. And because there's only one of them. Even as Dub said there, in Montreal, they have every right to not support the Jays. There was a bit of a vibe there. I mean, that just says it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was something interesting, if I may. Ernie was interviewed after, and they were saying, what's the vibe? And so he was saying, like, we just love each other so much, and all we want to do is, like, we only have a few more hours together, and that's it. So we're all trying to just spend as much time together as we can because, I mean, they're together 162 games a year plus the like preseason. They're together all the time. And now they were saying like it's a heartbreak for us because win or lose, we have to say goodbye. And some of us might not be back. And it was so like emotional. And he's like, I've been crying for the last hour, not because of that, but because we're breaking up because we're not going to be together anymore. Yeah. It was very like it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah. That's the case. That's the case sometimes, you know, when you win or lose and the actual group that's together, that's it. Like things change. As soon as next year comes, rolls around off season, there'll be players that'll leave and new players that'll come in and it never be quite the same.
Is that how it was as players, Craig? I mean, at the end of the season, no matter what happened in that season, there was that finality that, okay, no matter what happens in the off season, it will be different next year, because just nature of professional sports is there's going to be some guys and girls leaving, others coming in, and you're saying goodbye to something.
Yeah, nothing stays exactly the same. Yeah, it's tough to take. It's tough to take. Even these guys making millions and millions of dollars are, you know, it still comes down to winning and losing, and the emotion of it doesn't matter about the money. Like, it's just crushing for them, you know.
Or the guy making 67,000.
Those guys are likable guys too. Most of those LA players, I had nothing. The Japanese guys are fantastic,
amazing. Yamamoto, you just couldn't, as a sports fan, you can't do anything but tip your hat to the guy and say, "Man, that was a performance that, well, for the ages, really, come out." You know, two back to back complete games in the playoffs, and then another start where you're dominant, and then you come out the next day and pick up another win.
Yeah. Randy Johnson did it in 2001, I want to say. Very similar. Game 2, Game 6, and Game 7 with two earned runs. I think it was the same. I think Yamamoto pitched like maybe a half an inning or two-thirds of an inning more. But incredible. Yeah.
And the respect too, right, that they had, I think, for each other between the opponents, but also the guys in the respective teams, and Yamamoto tipping his cap to Vladdy, I think, before one of his at-bats. Have you seen any of his warm-up routines?
Who, Yamamoto?
Yeah.
In the dugout?
Well, in the dugout or like in the locker room, there have been a few videos circulating on socials where he's doing like a bridge, but he's getting there from a plank. So he's like twisting himself around and he's throwing javelins. And so like throwing javelins are apparently pretty integral to his pitching form and his release.
In the dressing room?
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's like for target practice. Guys that have upset him, they go on the opposite wall and he slings a javelin at them. No, just like as part of his general like preparation and his training. But like apparently he does the same kind of yoga base, but also martial arts informed warm-up. That's really comprehensive and gets him really loose and flexible and full range of motion.
I wonder if he's human. It does cross my mind that perhaps he's not. You know, nowadays guys can't pitch more than five innings, it seems, in a regular season. Modern baseball, this guy's doesn't bother him. Nah, 10.
Yeah. The fascination of pitch count, you know, it's like out the window with him.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, really, really depressingly sad way to end. But you still love this team, right? And you see, I mean, the fact that there was so little expected of this team before the season began made this so special. Even back in 93, 92, they were such good Jays teams, especially 93. Everyone said they should be going back to the World Series. Didn't take away from anything, but it's like, yeah, expectation was so high. And they delivered. This team, man, they were the last place team in the East last year. They were terrible. And they bounced back. Was it lightning in a bottle? Will they be terrible again next year? Or will they actually build on this? We'll find out, I suppose, when we start Baseball Prime. Anyway, there was more than baseball this past weekend. Wonga, by the way, conspicuous in his silence.
I know. It's never before happened.
Really his computer broke. He's rebooting it. but he'll be joining us. I'm sure he's got some more Jays takes, so maybe later on we'll let him dig in there. I know he has. But yeah, quite the weekend, MLS playoffs, NSL playoffs, CPL playoffs, lots going down, Premier League, of course. But MLS, Vancouver, they do it in two, albeit through penalties. Now, and I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, I don't like the best of three idea. It's stupid, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. But going straight to penalties, I'm really beginning to like. You don't need 120 minutes of football, really, you know? Go straight to penalties. Happened a couple of times this weekend, and I enjoyed it. Keeps the pressure up, right? There aren't that many extra times that are that interesting, generally speaking. Usually they're knackered, and they're just trying to not concede goals. But Craig, yeah, going straight to PKs, as people call it nowadays. Yeah, I like it. And good for Vancouver. They found a way straightforward back to the conference semifinals, right?
Yeah, and face LAFC, who are going to be a handful. I worry about that a little bit, if they can get by them. But, you know, Vancouver still, like there was two or three occasions where they're getting beat with a straight ball and they're clear in on goal, and it's happening a lot, and they're not going to be able to afford to do that against LAFC. They have too good of players up top. They're gonna take those opportunities.
You can see how direct and successful they were against Dallas, and we've seen it since Sun arrived, or even before. It's the way that they want to play, right? And they have the speed, they have the dynamism, they have the pace to just go right down the gut and like right down the opponent's throat and be punishing. So that is a concern for us. That's a good point.
It is.
Love seeing Ralph Prieto score, Jimmy. Hey, first goal in MLS.
Yeah,
it's great. This guy's, you know, been on the radar of Canadian fans for a very long time. Didn't work out at TFC, had to leave, and then came back to MLS. And you know, good for him to score what was such a massive goal in a game that well, the Whitecaps didn't actually play very well in.
Yeah, and look, I really like that squad. You know, I mean, I've said it before. Vancouver's got the best scouting system for me personally in Major League Soccer. It's just the players that they get in, they get the right characters, and they've built this team. And obviously, with Mueller coming in, that's the icing on the cake. This is such a dynamic squad. But the one player that I really, really like is Beerhalter. I think he's absolutely brilliant. What a midfielder he is! He is absolutely class. And he for me is the guy that kind of holds that midfield down. It doesn't matter who he's playing, whether it's Kubas or others. He is a class player.
And he's someone that a lot of people have given up on.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, good player. What won't ever take the next step from a national.
Are you sure? Did he come from TFC then? did he play at TFC?
Actually, if you go back far enough, every player in MLS came from TFC originally.
Yeah, I was pretty sure. Say.
At some point, the one degree of separation, TFC and every other player there. But yeah, no, he's been wonderful, right? And he just, he's been one of the every week he's there in that midfield. Yeah, they move around the edges. A lot of players coming in, a lot of players coming out. Prieto being a prime example of that. But yeah, so I tell you, LAFC, like Craig mentioned, their dubs against Vancouver. LAFC were good. We talked about it last week with Kara. Boanga and Sun, I mean, my God, they combined again, didn't they? And what a performance from LAFC, who move on in two games. Are you as nervous as Craig is, dubs?
Yes, for sure. This has been this team's Achilles heel, right? I mean, the first round of the playoffs, you could say, is collectively their Achilles heel, really, no matter who the opponent is. But it's usually LAFC. It's a team that they have to get past in order to move beyond. But I think it's essential, it's critical that they're able to dispatch of them. They have to do it in a year where there's been so much promise. They've amassed so much experience. Playing under Sorensen, I think they're drinking the Kool-Aid. They have the pieces. Mueller coming in, as Jimmy's saying, it is just the extra that they need in terms of quality, but also the mentality, I think, in order to do well in these situations. But now they have to get it done. Like it's time, like they've talked about it, and now it's time to actually just get down to business and to dispatch of the opponent. And it happens to be a big gun like LAFC, who seem to be finding their form and that synergy, that bromance, as you guys referred to it last week when you're speaking to Kara, between Boanga and Sun. Like they're just lethal. And box office at the same time, right? Like they've got everything going for them. I think the Whitecaps collectively can meet that. They can match it in terms of the energy, but also in the way that they can play. But I don't think it's really in that performance if you look at how they played in this last match. I think
Austin created some good chances, Dubs. I mean, really, a team that struggled in front of goal all season, Austin, they did create some chances. So I'd expect Vancouver to get those, but I also expect LA to get some chances. But it looks on paper like it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Tristan Blackman got the Defender of the Year last week. Mm-hmm. It broke just after we recorded. So obviously some talent back there for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, was it 4 points Vancouver picked up from LA this past season? But I think that's before both Sun and Mueller showed up in their respective teams. So very different teams. So let's not put too much on that. But we'll speak to Asa, obviously, throughout that and the build-up to that match, because it's going to be great.
Speaking of that build-up, it's 3 weeks, right? Before this game is going to be played.
Jesus. That 21 days? 22 days? Ah, God.
Mueller might retire halfway through that.
It's such a long time, 3 weeks. I'm just thinking, if you're the manager, just preparing that 3 weeks. And you notice, like, for players as well, they're coming in thinking, we're just training, we're not playing, there's no games. Players want to play all the time, just one after the other. That's going to be very difficult to manage those 3 weeks. It's a long time.
Don't forget that, Jimmy, there's a bunch of internationals going away and leaving these teams. Who knows what happens? Mm. Who knows, you know, what happens from an injury standpoint between now and then, which is, imagine that, you're in the thick of your playoffs. And you're losing, you know, 6 or 7 internationals, and half of them come back healthy. The other half are knackered. It's like, man, well, that's why they have to go to a new season in MLS. One of the reasons. Jesus, that just drives me crazy. Kind of a credibility thing, isn't it?
You often wonder, too, though, the managers, I wonder if they're making phone calls and just saying, look, it's a friendly. Do you really need these players? Because we got a big game, and God forbid something happens to a couple of these players. That wrecks our chances, really.
You'd hope so. There's some World Cup qualifying though, right?
Oh, that's right.
In this window?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We haven't gone through who's available. Someone will do that for us. There's someone out there right now putting together a piece for some blog or some website or publication, looking at who's leaving and playing what games. So when that work's done for us, we'll delve into it, because we ain't doing it.
But to play devil's advocate for a second, though, like talking about that stretch of time and how you have to motivate the players, you have to maintain that momentum somehow. A way of doing it, even though there's risk involved, is you send players off to a different high-performing environment with their national teams, and they come back and they're in great form. If you're able to dodge that, you know, extra load in their legs, potential for injuries, all that sort of stuff, of course there's risk that's inherent to it, but you get them back and they're performing very well and they're rearing to go once they rejoin their club teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how often, Dubs, do we say that? How often do we say, oh, so-and-so's coming back and he or she were in great form in the internationals. Wow, watch out. Chelsea, watch out. Usually it's like, oh, God. That was a lot of long flights, a lot of moving around, the legs are tired. You know, I think you're right what you're saying there. But the general narrative is always, oh, it's not a good thing for the clubs.
Yeah, I think Craig was – sorry, I thought Craig was going to be devil's advocate to the devil's advocate. So that's a
– No, that's a really good point. It is because you're going to sit – the guys that aren't going internationally, you're going to sit around for 3 weeks. That's an incredible amount of time.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that's Sun has summer holiday around the world.
Craiger, Jimmy, Dubs, was that summer holiday for you guys? Like a 3 week break, basically?
Yeah, sometimes. Summer? Sometimes that was about as long as you got in the summer, yeah.
Yeah. Because at that time, we would finish a season, and then Gold Cup would be in what, June, July? Mm. So you finish in May, and then we were straight into Gold Cup. And then come back, we get a couple of weeks, and then you're back at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah, wah. You're a little whiny right now. Us who never play professional football have no sympathy at all. We were working anyway, making shite money at jobs we didn't enjoy. So, hey.
I was just
together.
To back my devil's advocate argument, I'll pull some examples from the women's footballing world and our women's national team. They had an absolutely dismal window, losing 1-0 to both the Swiss and the Dutch. And Janine Sonnes, who missed probably, she had 4 grade A opportunities in that first match. She was obviously just beside herself that she wasn't able to capitalize on any. Goes back to Louisville, player of the match, scores. And then so does Jessie Fleming for Portland, player of the match, also scores. So even though they are poor performers with their national team, they get the minutes and then they go back to their clubs and they deliver. So I don't know. You're at really least something's good happening at the club setup.
You're reaching here for a good guy. Good. There they are, no matter what happens. Miami lost. So that gets Nashville. That's going to a third game. What if, just what if MLS? Ugh. What are Don Garber's thinking right now? Man, come on, Leo. He's got a nice new contract, new stadium opening up next year. Be great to be defending champions, or at least get to the final. To lose to Nashville, how great would that be for the rest of us? Pretty amazing, right?
I'm voting for, like, rooting for Nashville, 100%. Yeah, totally absolutely. Backing them. I want to see Inter Miami crash out.
Shaft factor. Even they didn't start this weekend. It's a shaft factor.
Hmm? The opposite of getting shafted. It's good. Yeah.
Often he is shafted by referees in CONCACAF. But
it's true.
Any other things from the MLS weekend you want to touch on? Anyone?
No, I think that's an important conversation, though, is what does MLS want? And I was thinking, you know, I know what I would want if I was Vancouver, if I were LAFC. You want to see Leo Messi in the final against you, right? And if you're MLS, that's who you want to see in the final. You want to see LAFC versus, you want to see Sun. You don't care about Mueller as much. But look, I would love to see Messi against our Vancouver Whitecaps. That'd be very cool. CONCACAF Champions Cup. Yeah.
We're going to show up this time. Assuming he would in the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Craig was at that match, right? Wasn't that match you were at, the 45,000 at BC Place?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, they won LAFC Miami. That's what MLS would like, obviously, just from the reach. But all the more reason to support the underdogs in these games, right? And would Vancouver be the underdog in this? Probably just about, I think. And knowing how the betting markets work, I bet they'd be underdogs in the books. Just, I'd be pretty tight.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, they'd love New York teams in there as well. New York City FC is still in contention, of course. Yeah, massive mark. Red Bulls didn't make it. By the way, do you see the Red Bulls cleaned house at the top? And Julian de Guzman has won a promotion and is now, I think, his head of sport, they call it, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Jochen Schneider has stepped aside or was let go, whatever it was. And in comes Julian. So he's now running. He's the man now running New York Red Bull. Some Canadian content doing well down there. So good for him. Yeah. Jimmy.
Yes.
For the first time in 7 years, there's no Forge.
Oh,
in the
yes.
final.
Yeah.
No Forge. Didn't really show up. They went horrible against Cavalry, but the story seems to be how Forge aren't. I'm reading, I'm watching. Oh, Forge won't be. How about the defending champions back in the final? Maybe we should give a bit more love to Cavalry, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with Cavalry, though, it was a bit of a roller coaster of a season for them as well, right? They had little spells where things were going well, and it took a little bit of time for them to gel together. And the space that they're in right now, the football that they're playing is fantastic. I mean, they're Elva up top with Borshevsky underneath, Tigny out wide, and Moosey. Their attack and play is absolutely brilliant. And you're right, with Forge, I just felt they couldn't compete all over the park. I think just the energy that Cavalry brought, they just seemed to want it more and ended up getting a great result, you know, and getting back into the final. I know, and everybody's talking about Forge. Oh, Forge, you know, if they've fallen, but they won the league. Forget about that. They won the league. So, yeah, look, it was a good game. And I think, you know, for a neutral and for the league, I think it's great that Cavalry and Ottawa are in the final rather than having Forge again. But it'd be a great match. It'd be very entertaining because both teams, you know, they attack very well. They score goals. Ottawa's going to be at home in front of a big crowd. And I'm looking forward to the match on Sunday. I think it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the Shield winners, they're still a dominant force. Maybe they're refreshing a little bit this offseason. Bobby mentioned that, didn't he? Post-match, he was saying how, listen, every year there's a 4 or 5 or 6 new players coming in. So it's sad to say goodbye to that group, as we discussed with the Jays, right, just 20 minutes ago. It's always going to be slight changes. But if you're a Forge fan, I don't think you should be concerned. They were fantastic for most of this season. And it comes down to one match against the defender champions. It's hardly a massive shock, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they got much to worry about, but you're right. There will be some turnover, just like any sport around the world. You've got players out of contract and ownership, and the staff look at it and think, okay, we need a couple of pieces here to make sure that we're better. And there will be some players moving on, but knowing Forge, they tend to get the right players in, and that's why they compete every single year.
But Jimmy, if you're building a team tomorrow, you can pick any player in the league to start with. Are you going with Tobias Wachewski?
Yeah.
Your guy? Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him. And I'm shocked. I'm surprised somebody else hasn't really tried to come in and poach him from the league. I mean, he's a big, big player. He's dynamic. He's got great ability. Really, really, really good. It's fun to watch.
Real four finesse, too, with his finishes, yeah. Right?
His agility. That was
a great goal.
Yeah.
It's a great goal. I love those little dinks. Dink mm-hmm. or chip? Yeah. It's dink, wasn't it?
That was a little, yeah,
little dink. Dink.
Little yeah. dinky chip.
Something we know all about, little dinks.
Warren put his hand up.
Yeah. I'm not sure if my computer's working very well, so I want to keep it on the DL, but yeah.
you missed our great Jay's take, so at the end of the show, you can jump in with a Jay's take if you like, okay? Just not now.
Okay.
So we're rolling right now. We're rolling.
All right. We're rolling.
So, we're going to hopefully talk to Nate Ingham later this week. But for the final, Ottawa against Calgary, Jimmy, what are you thinking? A very, way too early prediction. Give it to us.
I like the way that Calgary's playing at the moment. But I think this could be the year for Ottawa. I mean, their manager's been saying all season, we're the best team in the league. The players have bought it. They're saying it as well. But look, at the end of the day, you've got to win a trophy to say you're the best. And now they've got a chance to do that on Sunday at home in front of their home fans. So all the pressure is going to be on them. But I think with the squad that they have, and especially when you've got a striker up top who's, 19, 20 goals this season, who's on fire. Wide players, Rodriguez is looking good. Aparicio has been brilliant. And their back line. All of them are under the age of 21.
Hmm.
The three defenders, the three center backs that they have.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They've been brilliant. So I think this could be the year for Ottawa.
In front of maybe 20,000 fans? Is that what we're hearing?
So I think that's what they're pushing for.
It'll be 20,000 plus, I would think.
Yeah. That's Ottawa likes to support winners, to be perfectly honest. They haven't had one since the Rough Riders, Red Blacks, whatever they're called now. Sorry.
Yeah. Did they win?
CFL and ages.
Are you going to get your jersey, Wonger?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to have my bedazzle up a jersey.
You should definitely put it in the wash after that.
My Jackson Pollock? Yes. What is it?
Painter's Radio.
Painter's Radio.
Just radio.
Thank you, Dubs, for helping me.
Welcome.
The NSL enjoyed their first playoff weekend, Dubs. Did you watch the games?
Well, there was just the one game.
AFC beating your Montreal. Is it easy for you to stay unbiased? Considering that you've done work for Montreal, I know you're a professional.
Yeah, very easy. But it was strange to me though. It was a home game, and there was a transit strike in Montreal, and lots of competition for eyeballs and to get those bums in seats because the Owls were playing at 2 p.m. The Habs were on. There was a Carabin. There's university mm-hmm. sport happening. So the crowd was not as impressive as I'm sure they would have liked. I don't think that had anything to do with the energy of the Roses on the pitch, but it was a really well-contested opening 45. And Nicky Small got on the board quite early on for AFC, 8th minute, scores a goal. Esther Okoronkwo, she was speaking of coming off an international break, like AFC Toronto with that juggernaut, that roster of supreme quality that they've built and the depth that they have. You had your goalkeeper and Cody Yard, who was gone with Portugal. She didn't really play, but she was away for the international break. Okoronkwo was playing with the Super Falcons. She kind of came back carrying something. Kaylee Hunter, we know she was named to Casey Stoney's Canadian roster, but didn't play because of a knock she picked up prior to even meeting the team up in Europe. And Emma Regan played almost every minute for the Canadian women's national team, and she's their captain and, is the heartbeat of that midfield. Their back line, that unaffected by the international call-ups, but basically had a completely new backline. And Victoria Pickett, who's most often used as an attacking midfielder, was deployed as the right back in a back three. Croy Soto, who's done so well for them, especially the second half of the season, injured. She might not rejoin that team for the rest of the playoffs. So I thought they did incredibly well to kind of hold it down defensively against a Montreal team that had opportunities in the first half, mostly off the service of Chloe Minas and dead balls. But the second half made some changes. They didn't really adapt tactically. They didn't go more front-footed as I expected them to do. They kept their fullbacks kind of pinned back, defensive, and really kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like pragmatic, but almost like really conservative for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like you weren't getting threatened there. You were getting broken in behind on the right and attack down the left, but like they weren't supporting the attack, not really creative enough, and then made a couple of substitutions, didn't really make a difference, and he just looked resigned. And this is aggregate. So now they're going in as the away team, 2-0 deficit, mm-hmm. Sort of staring in them in the face, and they weren't really pushing to even claw a goal back and to kind of close that that gap. So it's a little bit odd to me, in the energy and the willingness to compete sort of went out of the game. That was a bit odd. I know that was long-winded. So, I mean, I think advantage really for AFC Toronto next weekend. They'll be the second of those two matches on the Sunday. And then the first matchup for the other semifinal is tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, but 7 p.m. kicking off in Swangard, where Vancouver is the lower seed, is hosting Ottawa. So that'll be really interesting.
Has anything you saw this weekend changed your opinion on Toronto being the overwhelming favorites for championship?
No, because it wasn't their B squad that faced Montreal. They have more respect for them than that. They wouldn't have made that error. But as I said, like, completely new backline. Sarah Rollins, who's done very well, she's a 20-year-old, deployed as the kind of the linchpin in that back three, hasn't really played there a whole lot. And she marshaled that backline very, very well. And players who were in, Keeley Hunter came in the second half, made a real impact. Boychuk from Montreal also substituted at half, didn't have, he's like the influence, I think, and the impact that Rasa Toyo probably wanted her to have, but she had very little support.
Boychuk. I love the name Boychuk.
And she plays like it too. The way the name sounds, that's Boychuk. The way she fucking plays.
Is she breaking up with guys all the time?
No, but you hear that name.
How dating mascots.
How would you expect her to play?
Amy Boychuk. Well,
she will be a finesse player, right?
No, but she's not. Yeah. I mean, 10 goal contributions, but she's belligerent. She's aggressive. She goes at you. She overwhelms you. She's physical, combative. I love watching her play, but you have to have quality kind of around her to facilitate the scoring and fluency going forward. And Montreal did not have that on Saturday.
Hey, did you hear our boy, our good friend of the podcast, original member, OG Danny Dicchio's Detroit mm-hmm. City yeah. FC, 8th seed, first round playing top seed Louisville, 1. Fantastic for Deitch and for Detroit. Yeah. Keep doing it.
Was that a one-off? Are they through?
Yeah, they're through.
Yeah, they're through.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's good doing good things there. They've got a new stadium being built, for, I think, for next season, I think it is.
Hmm. Yeah.
Some good things happening there for Deitch.
I had a very footy prime Saturday, just so you guys know. I had a little bit of a sleep in on Friday to Saturday, but then I woke up to Jimmy's text that said, go on, you Forest, or something like that. So then I watched the end of that match. But then I knew Dubs was on, so I tweeted out, or sorry, our social media manager tweeted out that Jamie Walsh on CBC. So I came home and watched the last half of Roses and AFC Toronto. So, and listened to Signa and Amy do their thing. And
it was Nigel. Oh, you liar.
It was not. It was not. But I watched it. I had to download the app on CBC Gem. So I had that going. To Dub's point, I was like, what is Montreal doing? They brought in their subs, were like a defender and a midfielder. I'm like, you're supposed to be trying to score. So I'm sorry. I was like, now it's very hard for me to cheer for any coach or team that does that. And then I watched the Jays. So I won't go on about it, but I just wanted you guys to know you have influence on me. Very, like, if someone would have said a Guinness, I would have maybe had a Guinness, like if there was something in there, just so you know.
We discussed this before, you know, if you didn't have coaches, would the games just be better? Just let the players run themselves. You know, come on. If there were no head coaches, you know, obviously within the team, there's going to be a hierarchy established slowly. You know, some of the leaders will become the leadership, and they'll determine how you play, right? But do you really? Do we need head coaches in sport?
Yes.
I don't think we do.
It would be bedlam. It would be so chaotic. It would either be really, really good, or it would be a hot mess.
Yeah, and either way, it's great.
Boy, have you guys seen any stuff with Mary Earps? Goalkeeper for England.
Yeah.
She's written an autobiography, and basically a narcissist. Like, I mean, she's like, if you think about the Women's World Cup, you think about the kiss and Rubiales kissing Hermoso, and then I had the next big thing. And Marla's like, what did you do, Mary? And like, I have like 10 things that I think about when I think about the Women's World Cup that's not Mary Earps. all that to say is you would have players as captains or players who figured prominently in team successes that you'd be like on a sidelines, okay, Sharms, time to come out. And you'd be like, fuck you, I'm coming out.
Yeah. That's why you need a strong leadership group that you respect. It would be
a disaster because sometimes you need coaches sometimes to have like that heavy hand to come in and rule with an iron fist.
You find paper, rock, scissors to see who's going on next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Or you could do the old, some clubs have that fan owner system, right? And I forget what team it was in England, but they actually had the fans vote on the starting 11 each weekend. You could do that.
Like, how, did live it work out? Game. How did it work so out, Sharms?
I can't remember. Was it Forest Green? Craig, remember this, Craig? I think we talked about it years ago on Sportsnet. I can't remember now. Where, I think it may be in Forest Green. But
they're also the club that went vegan, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. It may be the same. I could be wrong, but I think it might be the same club. Very, very progressive in the way they build that team. But within the game, you could just let the fans decide through polls on Twitter or Instagram as to who's coming out, who's staying. Why not? You know what? I bet you the results wouldn't differ at all from having a coach doing it.
Oh, come on. such a button pusher.
Such a hot take.
Winding everybody up.
Exactly. Clickbait Sharms.
Yes.
Some people will take me seriously, I think. You're an idiot. Don't know what you're talking about. Hey, well, by the way, who posted that Ricky Romero tweet?
Wonger.
I didn't post it. I just sent it to the dark web.
And what was it about?
Same as posting on Twitter.
Yeah, there's only six of us included in that, but yes.
No, but it was
what
on,
it was someone was calling him a bit out because they know he lives in LA. Oh, they know he's from his background's Latin American, and so someone was given the shit. And he just goes, "Don't get it twisted." And it was actually it's a great read.
Can I
read it?
Yeah,
sure. All right, let me pull it up. Sorry. Okay, so the original quote is, "Real East LA heads from iRue26, hashtag no sellouts allowed," and he puts Ricky's name, attaches it to it. And he goes, "Why am I a sellout? Because I was rooting for the team that I've had ties to since the day I was drafted. The team that since I retired, I've done lots of alumni work. I'll always be proud of where I come from, but don't get it twisted. I don't need you or anyone to claim me." And I thought, wow, that's some good words.
I love that.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good, Ricky. Yeah.
And stealing from our Craig Forrest, don't get it twisted.
Yes.
It's a very Forrest-ism.
Premier League this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay, Sharms and Dubs?
Well, okay, because our team won.
Yeah, finally. Oh, it's finally the one. Is the
I guess a really bad Villa, by the way. I don't know what happened there, but I'll take it. Absolutely. Good to see Salah, 250th goal for the club.
Yeah.
Oh, 250.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. But that wasn't going to be my take on the weekend. So you guys, I'll wait until the end.
Oh, okay.
Big deal. As host, I'm going to let the stars go first. So
Sunderland have a chance to go second.
Yeah, tonight they're playing Everton, right? Sunderland?
Yeah, they're going into second place.
That's crazy.
That's incredible.
It is.
All the promoted teams are doing well. And I'm really worried about West Ham. We got a result I wasn't expecting against Newcastle, winning 3-1. Cheto was amazing. And Nuno with his first win with West Ham. First win, I think, in like 250 odd days or something.
He was pumped too. I hate to see him with the players. The players seem to like him. So in the honeymoon stage still, I guess, right? New coach. But they seem to really embrace him. So good for him.
Yeah. Who needs a coach?
Of course, no.
They've done worse.
Don't get it twisted for us.
Graham Potter or no coach at West Ham to start the season. Would they still be in the relegation zone? Don't know. Okay, Wonga, what's your take from the weekend?
Oh, my take is just about Tottenham losing 1-0 to Chelsea, but at the end of the match, Thomas Frank gets kind of snubbed by his players. And I was
Nikki,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's early for a team that's, I mean, it was a third place going, like, it, these teams are neck and neck already in the top five, playing well. And I'm like, has he lost the room already? But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it's like to be a professional football player ever, but a coach comes up to me and starts talking to me and I snub them. That's a step in the wrong direction is what I'm saying.
You know, Waller, how you stop that from being an even possibility?
What's that?
Don't have a head coach.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
See, Sharms, you're making more and more sense.
Can't lose a room if there's no one to lose room to.
Well, Dubs, you were shaking your head. Give me your take. You don't think it's too early? You think it's not weird? You think it's
no, Thomas Frank has been beloved. We've seen kind of inside the dressing room, and yes, cameras are there, and yes, maybe players aren't saying everything that they want to say because they know it's being recorded and documented, but he has not lost the room. And that's also like there was an article in The Athletic that was talking about players clapping up the away fans, like or clapping up fans in general after a defeat. Like it's sometimes it's not a win for the players, right? Sometimes they get an earful from the fans, and recently there were players getting into it with them. That's a bad look too. So optically, we don't even really know what Frank said to Mickey van de Ven and I forget the other player that was with him. Like it looks to be go and kind of acknowledge the fans. It looks to be that. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think it's very much this Spurs fan base, maybe a fan base of miscontents and discontents. Mm. Like, what's the matter with you? You finished 17th last year and you're sitting in Champions League positions now? Give your heads a shake.
That's a Spurs fan for you, Dubs.
Yeah, bottom right.
Bottom left, insane. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Never happy. Ever.
Dr. Jaideep, though, was there. I think he was actually at the match. I saw a photo.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So Dr. Jai.
Let's find out from Dr. Jai.
Hey?
I want to hear from him. Like, his yeah. Thoughts. He was there.
Yeah.
Was he let giving know, it
Dr. Jai. I love Dr. Thomas Jai.
No, sweetheart.
He really is. He's a big supporter of this podcast, but also us as individuals. He's always cheering us all on. Mm-hmm. And me and JP specifically, because he's a Habs fan. And he also follows me via Footy Prime.
Now he's just a kiss up. Now he's just a kiss up and Dubs is returning the favor.
That's a good segue to me saying, as he's a fan of me and JP, our 18th wedding anniversary today.
Oh,
JP, well done.
Our final wedding anniversary this year.
Where are you guys going? Swiss LA?
Yeah, big on vegan fare. Swiss LA is.
Right now, at this moment, JP is on the edge of his bed with his head in his hands. Thinking, where did the last 18 years go?
Yeah, would have been out of prison for murder.
He needs a Footy Prime knife.
That's right. Oh, no.
Kill it.
Hey, Jimmy, what was your takeaway this weekend from the Prem?
Obviously, Forrest. I knew I shouldn't have texted that tweet to you guys.
You shouldn't have.
I should not have done it. I knew it. I got excited, up 2-1 at home. Felt like we were in control. I was like, come on, Forrest. We got him. And then obviously concede. And I was so mad at myself. I went for a walk after. I do it all the time.
But what a strike. I get ahead of myself. What a strike, Jimmy, to tie it up for the drop. Oh, yeah.
It was a cracker.
That was amazing.
Yeah, absolute cracker.
If it makes
and then they've got a game on Thursday as well. So
oh, they're really got an early match.
Europa League, serve grass.
Jimmy, if it makes you feel better, you're not that important. It was nothing to do with you putting the tweet out. Okay.
Yeah.
The result has no bearing at all on what you may or may not have said.
No, but it just seems like every time I do that, it backfires.
I know.
It's true, though, because it is your fault that Jay's lost because you bought that cap.
It is.
Yeah.
They were cruising until they bought it.
It is Jimmy's fault, I think, Sharps.
It's a nice cap, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like the blue.
It's a nice baby blue.
It is.
They haven't won a game since he got it.
Nope. But it's nice. Dubs, do you have a take from the weekend? Of course you do.
That was it. It was Mo and 250 and like that gift from Emmy Martinez. But then I think he's also tied now, Salah, especially I think after the slow start and he's been off form. Like he just hasn't looked like himself. So hopefully a little bit of a gift that he needed there, his right foot as well. I don't know. I just think it's a bit meaningful and he is tied with Wayne Rooney now. I think he passed. Is he also tied with Lampard or did he pass him on goal contributions? Yeah. For one club in the Premier League, not total, but for a single club in the Prem.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Wow. Expensive bench this weekend, wasn't it? Jesus, all the new boys just sitting there.
Yeah.
Izek wasn't even playing. Hey, JC, you got a take?
It's more selfishy personal. Today is Charlie is at daycare for the first time.
How's
Melbourne?
I don't know.
I'll meet you at the pub in an hour.
Oh man.
Well, we dropped her off and she ran into the room and didn't look back. And
that's great.
Yeah. And then we walked out and sat in the parking lot for like half an hour. And then went and had breakfast and now I'm doing this. And in a minute I'm going to go pick her up because we're just doing a couple hours. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But that's where my brain's been at. I did take her to the bar yesterday to watch football for 10 minutes.
You dropped her off there for a couple hours just to get her out of an entry.
But I did. Sat in the parking lot, did the same thing.
That's the thing too. I drop her in the bar and she goes and runs around and meets all the people in the bar and then I have a pint. And then I take her and go home. So that's where my head's at. So that's my take. Also, thanks, Jays. It was a good run. No sarcasm.
That was earnest, listeners.
It was.
Ernest Craig. Clement.
Well done.
Did you ever take already, Craig? I forget.
Yeah, West Ham.
Oh, was it West Ham, was it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, West Ham.
Okay, and my take was win two.
It's two takes.
In the championship.
Shut up, Sharms.
I said one take. You take two.
Charlie. You take Charlie.
Who are you?
And a shout out to our U17.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. U17's a close bus to Brazil.
Oh, ouch. Losing in pens.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Penalties. One missed penalty. Wow.
Yeah. My take quickly is just so Man City won. Haaland scored two more goals. But have you seen Haaland's YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm.
He did a Halloween one. It's really good. And I really wanted to dislike YouTube channels of players. Because I'm miserable. That's my natural default setting. Mm-hmm. But kind of importance. You know, I'm always whining about players being robots and having no personalities. Well, here's a chance for these guys to show their true colors. And I learned a lot about Haaland. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Colorful, lots charismatic guy, can make fun of himself.
Oh, no, that's Haaland. Sorry.
What do you say?
I said lots of dykes. Lots of dykes. I know that's Haaland.
You talking about Craig's YouTube profile?
No. Well, in Toronto.
Stop. Talking about actual blood barriers.
Okay, gotcha.
Dental dams.
Going back to YouTube channels, so I thought the question should be very quickly for you guys. When you played the game, if YouTube was a thing, and it clearly wasn't because you're all very old, which of your teammates should have had a YouTube channel or would have had a YouTube channel?
Mm. David, Ian Wright. Ian Wright had his own show. So
Ian Wright would have for sure, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yes. Well, he had his own show. And then Razor Ruddock, that would be box office.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's rough. Yeah. It'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, disgusting. Can we get Razor back, please?
Yeah, we should.
Shoot him a text.
That was wild.
And Charms missed it.
Both. Is it even on twice?
Just once.
Yeah, I missed it. Yeah. Damn it. That was pre-Dubs, right?
I think so. Or around.
Yeah.
Just before. I think she'd been on already, though. Like there was.
Yeah. She had it. Yeah, I'm sure. But I think, B was hosting that day because I was unavailable. That's right. Wow.
Uh-huh.
That'd be great. Jimmy, ex-teammate, who would you have?
I think back in the day it would either be David Bentley or Peter Crouch.
Crouchy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He would definitely have one. His podcast.
Peter Crouch is doing all right post career.
He is. Mm-hmm. I saw that actually Bentley was on, was it Under the Cosh, Jimmy, recently? Was it Under the Cosh? Yeah, I didn't realize he was such a big personality because he was kind of huge. Ridiculed, right? When he played because of his pretty boy, the hair, and all that.
Well, he but, went from what a personality. Tottenham, right?
He what?
He went from Arsenal.
Was he Arsenal first?
Yeah, I think it was Arsenal first and then went to Tottenham.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But he, the way he is when you see him on social, that's how he was in the dressing room. He is wild, but hilarious.
Okay, you got to work on him, getting him on the show. Right. Okay. Projects. Craig, Razor Ruddock, Jimmy, David Bentley. Okay. That's your project for the next week. Reach out to them, make contact, and let's book them. Okay. We're going to revisit this on Friday and just set for an update meeting as to see where we're at with this.
Actually, Wednesday, because we're going to be in studio at Sirius XM.
We are. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dubsy, former team.
Chamby.
Shams.
I think I want to throw in, it's not really a caveat, but like when you think about Erling Haaland, right? You got to go, JC.
Got to go pick up the kid.
From the bar or from the
white mic? Daycare, right. Daycare and straight to the bar.
Chuck's Roadhouse.
So see Erling Haaland. So much money, changed landscape completely, social media wise, but also just media in general since we played, right? As you mentioned, Erling Haaland is not posting that shit. He's got somebody who's doing that for him, right?
For sure. Yeah.
This is the thing. So when you think about, I'm not going to speak for Forrest or Jimmy, but when you mention those big personalities, yes, that's the content that you want. But back in the day, you were having to do all that shit yourself. So if you can't pick those people because that the stuff would never have been posted or they were the least likely to film it. So it would either have to have been like a tandem or a duo, like somebody on your team who's filming the star or the person who's producing this ridiculous content that would get all the clicks and someone doing it for them. Because when I think about the national team days, it would probably be Karina LeBlanc or Melissa Tancredi. But would they post the stuff? Would they have like the motivation to do it? Probably not. And so the most consistent though with that sort of stuff was Rian Wilkinson. Like she was writing blog entries and posting pictures and doing that stuff before anybody was. So maybe it's a combination of Rian who's actually doing the work to publish the stuff and maybe writing the pieces and then like the videos starring Tank and KK.
Yeah. Okay. I'd watch that.
Yeah. Of course.
Big personality would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And I thought I'd hate it. But the Haaland one, if you haven't seen it, he's in just being dressed up as the Joker at Halloween and going to the local gas station to buy. He used the word diapers, I'm surprised about. He's been there long enough, called nappies. That's why no one had any idea what he's talking about.
But just everybody knew who he was right away.
Oh, yeah.
Straight away, I know.
Look at the height on you.
I don't know.
You're the Manchester City boy, aren't you?
I've watched you on Saturday. I know who you are.
But he's great though. Like he's really endearing. Like obviously he's magnetic and he's just this bigger, larger than life personality on the pitch and everything that he does. But off the pitch, people seem to just gravitate towards him. He's just magnetic, even if he's just buying tomahawk steaks and eggs and raw milk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's like, oh my God, it's Erling.
He could be a Blue Jay. He's that approachable.
He is.
Yeah. All right.
Well, can I give you my one? You said I could have one take about the Blue Jays. Yeah. The one advantage of the Jays not winning and losing is that I didn't have to see Edward Rogers, the CEO of Rogers Communications, accepting the award for the World Series before everybody else. That is the one great thing that I didn't get to complain about. So thank you.
I thought about that too. Yeah,
and also, like, that just confirms the fact that you're a boomer. I didn't get to complain about it.
But you kind of just.
I'm 4 years away from boomer. 4 years.
It's just an ongoing joke in our dark web. You're not really a boomer, Wonger.
Thank you.
So you didn't see the LA owner.
You should see my internet history. Maybe I am one.
I don't want to see
maturegrannies.com.
I don't want to see mature.
See, Warner definitely hangs out at Swiss Chalet.
Yeah, he does.
For one on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, can half price deal.
That's right. Hi, Dorothy. Hi, Betty. Have a seat.
Can I get an extra sauce, please?
That's again, yeah. That's your YouTube history.
It's not gravy.
Okay. That's pretty prime for Monday.
Warner's drinking the lemon water that's meant for your hands.
Squeezing it out.
Bringing it home.
Oh, you old fucker.
Can I box up this lemon water, please?
All right, so in the show, we're back later this week at some point. Not sure when, but definitely Wednesday, when we're going to be in studios at SiriusXM doing a bunch of fun stuff. So, quickly, Dubs, is there a broadcast scheduled for this week?
I don't know.
Okay. Things we should have discussed before the show, before he asked. All right, so yeah, we'll chat later. Thanks so much, everyone. It's Footy Prime, and keep liking us, subscribing, and giving us comments. And it's time for a comment show. It's been a while, actually. Maybe we'll do a comment show later this week.
So, yeah, love the comments.
Yeah, let's do that. Why not? All right, later. Bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Let's go up
this way.
This way? There you go. Get down.
Well, we'll try that. Thanks for listening. Keep finding these papers.